It's Monday.
Shh, be very, very quiet. It's Ginny. She's in her natural habitat. Yes, she's with someone, but who is she with? All we know for sure, it's Monday, and she's drinking a mocha. It must be Monday Mocha with Ginny Sarasvati.
It's the Ginny Show Monday Mocha Edition, and it's only fitting that I should have a Monday Mocha with someone who knows a lot about coffee and owns his own coffee company and coffee beans and also has a podcast. Raj Jana, welcome to Monday Mocha.
Super excited to be here. Yes.
Raj, thank you for your time. I'm actually super excited. Before I spoke to you, obviously you won my heart because as an Australian, you know, we're very big on our coffee and we have a very snobby coffee palate. So I'm sure you know a thing or two about that because I know you recently went to Australia and they loved you there, which I'm not surprised about. So I'm actually interested to know, how do you take your coffee?
Black. No cream, no sugar.
Just black?
Yes, I brew it in my AeroPress every single day, which is a small coffee maker that's built for single use, and I take my time. I manually grind my beans. I wait for my hot water to warm up, and it usually takes me about 7 to 10 minutes to make my one cup of coffee, and man, it is the best cup of coffee on the planet. Wouldn't want it any other way.
I love how you have like a semi-ritual to having this cup of coffee because I find it fascinating observing people when they consume coffee because for a lot of people, the reason for consuming coffee is obviously for that caffeine hit, the wake up and to get going. But you seem to kind of make a ritual out of it.
Yeah, it's almost like a meditative experience for me. It marks the start of a day. It marks the shift between self-care to self-actualization, which to me is about going out there and creating your dreams and working and really going after the things you want. And for me, it's helpful to have a defining moment in my day that can allow that second half or that second part to really get started with a bang. And so I've sort of started ritualizing my coffee. That's something that sort of goes with me everywhere I go, whether I'm traveling, I have a cup of coffee. It's like the constant that's there whenever I travel or when I'm at home. And so I think that that's why I created that mindset around coffee, but there's other things that people can do it around. But for me, the coffee just marks the, hey, let's go get things done. Like that's what that marks for me.
Fantastic. Well, obviously Monday Mocha is around, you know, creating a life that you love, that's abundant. It's obviously starting your week the right way. I'm curious to know, Raj, you obviously have a coffee ritual to kind of kickstart your day and you make it very purposeful and intentional. How do you prepare for a Monday?
My preparation for a Monday starts on Sunday, and I'm a big fan of prepping the night before just in general. I think that the quality of your day is 100% dependent on the way you end your day. And removing any decisions you have to make in the morning by planning and prepping and knowing what you're going to accomplish just removes all the stresses that might slow you down from accomplishing as much as you want to accomplish during the week. So my Mondays start on Sundays. I sit there and I will pull out my journal and I'll just start brain dumping. I will write out everything that I did the previous week. I'll reflect and see what I did, what I didn't get done. So there's outstanding items. And then I'll take a look at each part of my business and my hobbies, my personal life. I break out my life into a lot of different metrics, everything from family, friends, you know, my relationship, to then going out to my team's happiness, my projects, my goals, my finances. I look at every part of my life about once a week, and then I'll grade myself from the previous week to see how I did. And then based on how I did the previous week, I will make goals for the next week that allow me to then move forward with confidence, knowing that if there was ever a part of my life where I didn't really show up fully, this is my week to correct that wrong.
Wow.
And so this all happens on Sunday. And so I'll set up my entire week. And then from there, once I realize what I need to do personally to just show up fully and intentionally, then I'll take that same practice and apply it to my business and see, all right, what do I want to accomplish this week? How far do I want to go? If I could do one thing that would just crush everything else, what would that be? And I'll get really clear on a Sunday. And then from there, I'll plan out what I'm going to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I'll look at my calendar. I'll see if my calendar is aligned with my goals and what I need to get done. And then from there, I just connect dots. And if team members need to get involved, that's usually a Monday thing. But yeah, my Monday starts Sunday. And then during the week, it's just my morning routine. I get up, I work out, I come back, I shower, I do my affirmations and visualizations, I journal, I meditate, read, then I make my coffee and I get to work. And that's how I start my Mondays.
It's very interesting because with what you're doing at the moment, I've interviewed different people about their Monday routines, or more to the point, their morning routines. And a lot of what you've mentioned is what is covered, you know, a grounded, solid morning practice and a grounded practice to prepare for the week as well. And I love how you said your Mondays start on Sunday. So if we are to go back to the Sunday night, you talked about how you journal and you kind of really evaluate your performance and how your team's happiness. From what you said in that whole spiel, Raj, what kind of made my ears prick up was you said that you talked about how you really want to think about your team's happiness. That's a really hard thing to do as a CEO. What are some of the tools you have in place to evaluate your team's happiness?
Well, I talk to my team a lot.
Yeah, that helps.
I anticipate. I look at conversations over the past week. I see completion of projects. And I really try and anticipate a lot. And we do a lot of surveys, you know, maybe biweekly or monthly surveys. I'll definitely get on at least one monthly call with the team and see what's going on. But I'm pretty much talking to my team every single day. And so for me, it's just being cognizant and aware of the way my team reacts to projects, the way my team feels after projects are completed, the reasons my team get for why they're doing certain projects. And I think that's what I mean by team happiness. On Sundays, when I'm thinking about all the ambitious projects that I want to get done during the week, because I'm really gunning for a lot. Right now, I think I'm juggling about 3 or 4 different huge projects. And so if I throw everything at my team all at once, they're going to get overwhelmed and really unhappy. And so in order for my projects to move forward and the company's projects to move forward, I have to think about how I'm going to break these projects down into manageable chunks that can then be digested by my team in a very happy manner where they don't feel like they are losing out on life just to go and push forward for the company's goals.
Hi, this is Brooke Devard from Naked Beauty. Are you tired of feeling housebound? I sure am. Break free with the new Unbound Cordless Auto Curler from Conair. It's a high-performance auto curler that's rechargeable and gives you up to 60 minutes of cord-free runtime. Just think of all of the incredible hair looks you can create in 60 minutes, unbound, away from your wall. Don't get tied down by cords. Love your look. Live unbound. Check it out at Conair.com and search Unbound.
And so really it's thinking about and putting myself in my team's shoes to say, all right, if I give all these projects to Sarah, how is she going to react? What else does she have going on in her life right now? Is she going to be able to handle this workload right now? If she does, what can I do for her? How can I thank her? And it's just kind of constantly thinking about that, because I think that you're only as good as your team.
Yeah.
And there's a lot you can do on your own. And yes, we're all superhuman in a way. At least our parents tell us that. At least mine did. They, you know, for a long time, they pushed me and they're like, you can do it all on your own. You can do it all on your own. But the more I started doing and taking on my own, the more I realized I started relying on my team members to do great work. And so if you're not really thinking about your employees' happiness, if you're not trying to make work pleasurable, meaningful, joyful for the people you work with, then I think you're missing out on just a huge lost opportunity to inspire and give the people that are already doing so much for you a great and meaningful work experience. And I think that goes a long way beyond just the tangibles that come from finished goals and output. I think it just goes to creating a work environment that then maximizes positivity and attracts all the abundance that you really want in your life.
You clearly have a very great sense of EQ, Raj, the way that you just talked about prioritizing what's important to your team and kind of looking beyond the task box and what needs to be executed. I'm wondering where you got to this place, like what were the steps or what were the things that you went through to actually get to this place where you really had to deploy this kind of EQ?
I'll have to start, I guess, with my parents. I mean, my parents, they always pushed me from a very young age to be a leader, to take on sports and in sports to be a leader. And when you're kind of taking on leadership roles at a young age, you start to sort of connect dots and see what motivates people to do more, what doesn't. And so I think from a very young age, I'd kind of had experience in being thrown into the deep end of the pool with no floaties on, for lack of a better word. And so that started the journey. But then when I came to college, I started my own fraternity, which then forced me to manage and lead college students and motivate college students who had no incentives to really do anything for the fraternity. So that was a huge one. I worked in corporate America, which then forced me to understand how to navigate that landscape. I just think that I've been put in a lot of different landscapes and have been forced to sort of figure out how the ecosystem in each of those landscapes work. And by understanding how the ecosystem works, you can now understand how each member in the ecosystem plays a role. And in order to move forward, it was always about understanding how each piece fit together. And I think thinking about that over time allowed me to really create a grounded and almost like internal view, not only for the people in my life, but also from a self-awareness standpoint. I forced myself to have to understand the best ways I communicated. What did people love about me? Why did certain people really love working with me? And why did certain people not? So I think being heavily, not critical, but holding myself to a standard of, you know, wanting to be appreciated, wanting to be loved, and wanting to create a work environment where people enjoyed working with me, I think the prioritization around creating a cohesive work environment in all of the areas of my life that I've been forced and blessed to have, I think all of that sort of culminated into a better understanding of not only myself, but also of just people in general. And, you know, couple that with getting into business. I mean, business, you're forced to understand people on a whole new level. You're understanding your customers, which is a whole, from an experiential standpoint, by thinking about how can you deliver an incredible experience for your customers, that then allows you to understand what they're going through. When you think about your team members, when you think about vendors and manufacturers, and when you think about the different things that drive different people, now all of a sudden you're connecting dots and you're just putting together the puzzle of the entire human psyche, which then you can go back to and draw from as you're creating experiences with people in your life.
Her aunties wanted to send her to another country, so we brought her here. The Jenny Show.
It's a great kind of talk that you gave there on, you know, accountability, kind of looking at yourself and how you can bring value to others and how you can serve others, but also how you deploy that empathy, because that's really important too, to understand. I guess, Raj, like you talked about how you work for corporate America. I think that you've seemingly created a life for yourself that you seem to be pretty rapt about. I'm wondering, was there ever a time where you didn't like Mondays?
Yeah, I think so. When I first got into corporate America, that was the biggest eye-opening experience for me. I mean, I came from college where I just started my own fraternity and I had to bet on myself. And now I'm in corporate America where seemingly, you know, the more I bet on myself, the more sure I was going to be there until the age 60.
Wow.
So there was a definite contrast in just, you know, what I realized hard work meant. You know, in college and growing up playing sports, hard work meant some sort of a W or a win or, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel. But for the first time when I joined corporate America, that wasn't the case. You know, now my light at the end of the tunnel was 40 years later. So yeah, when I worked in corporate, I wasn't the happiest, but at the same time, I started kind of side hustling when I was in corporate for that reason. And, you know, it was hard work, definitely having to juggle a full-time job. And I was in a long distance relationship at the time. And I was also side hustling and sort of starting JavaPress and trying to create something more. So I wouldn't say that it was ever a day where I didn't really like, in the beginning, I didn't really look forward to Mondays, but I think I started accepting Mondays and I started accepting that, you know, this is my reality right now, but this doesn't mean my reality is going to be this way forever. And I don't remember when that shift happened for me, where I started looking at each day as an opportunity to be happy and great and amazing. And yeah, I had life-changing experiences in corporate America, and we can talk about that, my story of how I started JavaPress and all that. But I think that as far as a defining moment for me to switch and say I started looking forward to Mondays, I can't remember when that was, but I do know that my attitude changed towards each and every day after I started a side hustle and after I realized that it didn't matter if it was a Monday or a Saturday. Ultimately, I needed to show up if I wanted to create change in my life.
Absolutely.
And so I think it was just the acceptance and ownership of the results I was going to make and taking that on full, like just taking it full on and not really letting Mondays get to me.
I like how you just explained that there, Raj, because I can actually relate to that too. When I lived in Australia, I had a day job. Wasn't a corporate job, but it was a job that I was not in love with, but I liked it enough for what it did and the opportunity it provided me. But I also was in a long distance relationship with someone in New York City and, you know, doing a side hustle as well. So I was juggling a few things. How did you manage that? I guess having a long distance relationship, you've got to put in the time in terms of speaking, but it kind of works out well because it's scheduled time. You know what time zone or whatever time that they're on, and then you can kind of work around that. But how did you find juggling that? I'm curious to see, like, you know, what were your health habits like? Were you kind of awake at different times? How did it work for you?
So my schedule when I worked full time and was juggling Java Press and the long distance relationship, really. So I was an early riser. You know, I woke up probably around like 5:30 a.m. and I still wake up around 5:30 every single day. And so between 5:30 and around 7 a.m., I would do purely self-development work. And that's when I sort of built up my own mindset. I'd read books. I'd meditate. I would repeat affirmations and goals. I would read. I would take the course material I was buying and I would just consume content and just feed my mind. And then I'd go to work from 7 to 7:30 is when I got to work. And then 7:30 to about 11, I'd do hard work. And then from 11 to 12, I'd hit the gym. My office, I was grateful. I had a gym in the workplace. And so I would just go to work out. And then 12 to 12:30, I'd have lunch. And then 12:30 to about 5, I would go back to work. And then from around 5 to 6 was my time to get back home, decompress, sort of get ready for my second shift, which started at 6 p.m. every single day.
Wow.
So I would work from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on my goals, on my dreams, and everything I wanted. And then from 8 to 8:15, I'd plan the next day. And then from about 8:15 to 9, I'd hang out with my girlfriend, watch TV, Skype, FaceTime. And then from 9, you know, to 10, it was just an extension of that, either talk longer or I'd go to sleep somewhere between 9 and 10 p.m. And then I would just repeat that. And the beautiful thing about creating that type of a regimen for myself is that over time, I started associating these time periods with intense productivity.
Right.
And so in the beginning, 6 to 8 p.m. was, you know, like, oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to do for 2 hours. But then over time, because I started doing that every single day and I started just associating 6 to 8 p.m. as work time, my mind already removed all the barriers of wanting to work. It was like, all right, we had to get to work. And I just got to work and I knew what I was going to do because I planned it the night before. I would have like rituals that I would engage in before I went into work. So I meditated every single time before I started my second side hustle. You know, for 3 minutes, I would just sit there and meditate and then I'd get to work. And I think over time, just like anything else, focus is a muscle.
Absolutely.
The more you practice focusing and the more you put constraints on your ability to stay engaged and focused, the more you start to wield it in a way that creates extraordinary results. And I think that that's what happened over time. So in the beginning, yeah, my goals, I was moving pretty slowly towards my goals, but over time, the compound effect of life just started kicking in. And every hour that I spent on my business during that time became 10x more valuable. And I think that's how I did it. I was pretty strict about that. Just, you know, if there was one thing I did, it was like, I'm going to work at the same time every single day. I'm going to commit to my evening routine and I'm going to commit to my morning routine. And that was all I did. And over time, that worked out.
So you were able to deploy that patience to know that over time, this is going to create what is now your main hustle for you.
Well, I had the faith.
Yeah.
You know, and patience is a reflection. It might be the sister of faith, but I think that when you have faith in yourself, and I think that's why building your mindset is so important when you're doing a side hustle or when you're working on goals and things outside of your comfort zone, because, you know, if you're not building your mindset along the way, you won't be able to cultivate the faith, which then leads to patience. So ultimately, by building the mindset in the morning for myself, I was able to deploy action at a rapid pace in the evenings because I had faith that everything I was doing was going to work out. And I didn't know when. Yeah, I had goals and I had ambitions and sort of deadlines that I put for myself. But I think that having the faith in yourself is a cultivated experience. And I think that cultivated experience happens the more you spend time investing in things that are going to feed positivity, brainwash your subconscious into believing you can actually do what you need to do, and just push yourself. to do more. If you don't have the mindset already there to create more in your life, then when you get to that point where you have seemingly what you want, you'll stop. And then when you stop, you'll actually lose all the momentum, because life is a product of momentum. And so I think that the consistency and patience, I knew one thing I did know is that momentum kicked in. I was an athlete growing up, and when I played sports, that was the same way. You know, you would practice, you would practice, you would practice, you'd practice, you'd practice, and then eventually you'd get to a point where your practice was showing up on the field or when you were playing these matches. And I think over time, that's just the consistency that comes with it. The more you practice, the more consistently you practice, and the more consistently you're tracking how far you're going, the quicker and sooner you're going to get to a point where you can deploy these things in real time and experience the results and fruition that comes from hard labor.
Raj, you're clearly someone who intently and intensely has a productive routine. I'm just wondering, to move on to a lighter question, do you take your phone to the bathroom with you?
I do, actually.
How productive are you in the bathroom? Do you take phone calls, emails, browse?
I do not take phone calls and emails in the bathroom. I don't respond to things in the bathroom. I will read things in the bathroom.
Gotcha.
So if I have something I need to catch up on, like, you know, I just make sure I know what's happening. And no one's ever asked me that question, so I'm a little floored right now. But that's a good thing. I like it when I get asked questions I have no idea, like, that we're coming. But yeah, in the bathroom, usually it's me sitting there with my phone. I might watch it might be just a decompression break.
Gotcha.
Like, it might just be me just kind of stepping away from life and enjoying a moment or two and then getting back to it when I get out. But I try not to cram my day with work all the time.
Gotcha.
I do try to have micro moments of happiness. And if anything, I'll text somebody like an I love you text. Like, I'll send it to a friend or something like, hey, I haven't talked to you in a while. Like, I miss you. Hope you're doing really amazing. Or I'll catch up on that. That's what I'll do if I have moments to spare.
Gotcha. Very productive man you are, Raj. Speaking of productivity, I'd love to know about your podcast, which is into 44 episodes, I believe, called Stay Grounded. Tell me about it. I love the title because it's obviously got a coffee reference. And once you have a coffee reference in something, you've won my heart over. So tell me about the podcast.
Yeah. Well, you know, I started the podcast last December as a way to just grow JavaPress. And soon over time, it actually turned into one of my favorite things to do. We bring on guests from all walks of life, from best-selling authors to business moguls to extreme athletes to monks, and really just discuss different ways to infuse happiness, passion, productivity, routines, mindfulness, meditation, forgiveness, acceptance. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. We're really just exploring different ways to live a full and intentional life. And it's something I'm purely passionate about because, you know, when I was starting JavaPress, I had a mentor who worked around 40 years for the same company. And with about 3 months left until retirement, he had a heart attack and died.
Oh, no.
And I remember when that experience was happening, it changed a lot for me. It was like I took in about 50 years worth of lessons in a split second. And it made me realize that everyone in my life, including myself, my family, everybody was just pushing to a later date to be happy. And I looked at my dad. My dad's a classic immigrant, came to the US with, you know, $60 in his pocket and worked his entire life for everyone else in his family and never made time for himself. And so the idea of something like that happening to my father freaked me out. And so, you know, Stay Grounded sort of came from this place where I just wanted to really help people. And I wanted to ask the best people in the world who were uniquely qualified to answer these questions. I wanted to explore how we can all live a full and intentional life now, even if we're not where we want to be yet. How do you balance the world of not being where you want to be with fully being accepting and grateful and happy with exactly where you are? And how do you balance those two dichotomies to create a life that's super fulfilling and beyond what has been done in years past? And I think that's what the podcast has become for me. And it's been a blessing. And I'm super grateful for just how far we've come.
Fantastic. Sounds like a true coffee podcast, much like Monday Mocha. Raj Jana, thank you so much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. And thank you for sharing stories of your life, productivity, and how I can stay grounded too.
No, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me here, Ginny. Really appreciate it.
Monday Mocha with Ginny Sarasvati.
Hi, this is Brooke DeVard from Naked Beauty. Are you tired of feeling housebound? I sure am. Break free with the new Unbound Cordless Auto Curler from Conair. It's a high-performance auto curler that's rechargeable and gives you up to 60 minutes of cord-free runtime. Just think of all of the incredible hair looks you can create in 60 minutes, unbound, away from your wall. Don't get tied down by cords. Love your look. Live unbound. Check it out at Conair.com and search Unbound.